You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting world sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean we won't venture off the beaten path.
That's right.
And explore the realms, the paths we can go on.
All nine realms.
All 10 rings.
Oh, like Shang-Chi.
All 11 oceans.
Wow.
All.
What are there 12 of?
12 donuts.
Ooh, a baker's dozen. We could get a 13th one in there.
Tasty. There you go. I don't know where I was going with that, but there you go. That's all the numbers that fit the print, even though this is an audio podcast. Run with that.
Yes.
Stop the presses. There you go.
All right.
That's how we'll kick off the show here at the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us on this week's episode. We have a couple topics to get to. But before we do that, Mike, we're real quick. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. We had the long weekend. Labor Day. Happy.
Yep.
Happy labes, as Nena would say.
Yeah. Labes. That's right. Bringing it back.
Awkward and weird, but delightful.
Just like Nena.
We love you, Nena.
Yes. Out last week's episode if you didn't.
Oh, my gosh. It was a riot. Had a nice long break. Got to see, my girlfriend's family, my family. Got to hang out with you and Rachel.
We painted the town red in Phoenixville.
Yeah, so we had a good long weekend. Got to see lots of different groups of people. Notably, though, my cousin is here as live studio audience now.
Live studio audience. There we go.
So, this is pretty cool.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast, recording in front of a live studio audience.
Yes. That's the only way to do it.
Yes.
Just a lot of rest and relaxation, just hanging out with friends and family this week.
Yep, you know? Perfect way to celebrate the holiday weekend.
How about you?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I'm not going to lie. It was good. Monday, I literally did nothing. It was fantastic.
That's the best thing to do on an extra day.
I did absolutely nothing, and it was everything I thought it could be.
Look, every once in a while, you just want a day where you wake up like, not too late, but like 10, 11 o'clock, and you just do absolutely nothing. You just, I like to lounge around in like basketball shorts and a t-shirt. Like, I don't do that all the time. And just no chores, no visiting people, no.
Yeah.
And you just sit there and vegetate.
So real quick, there is something I did do.
Okay.
Me and Rachel, we got bored and we were watching movies that we either heard was bad or like just like the description of it was bad or something.
Okay, classic.
So we're watching a couple movies, and before you know it, we go through the Bond collection.
Okay.
And we get to Moonraker, and she goes, "What's Moonraker?" And I'm like, "Oh, let me tell you this one. This is literally the fact that Star Wars came out in 1977, and Albert Broccoli told the writers, like, hey, we need to send James Bond into space. Do it. Whatever the next one is."
That's the weird one where he
goes to space.
And it's literally like, is
James Bond goes to space.
Isn't the plot like basically Star Wars except with spies, kind of?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Creative.
It's part Spy Who Loved Me, part Star Wars, and just absolute sheer ridiculous. And part like Women of the Amazon Jungle. Because I totally forgot about, there's a scene where right before they get to space, the lunar base is in South America or something. It's in some sort of jungle setting.
They just need an excuse for James Bond to go look at scantily clad women.
Correct.
It's okay.
Correct.
It was the 70s Bond film.
Correct. That's exactly what it was for. So for some odd reason, the base where they launched the shuttles is in like this jungle habitat, and all the attractive women are dressed very scantily clad.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful movie. Go check that out, Moonraker. Why not?
What a glowing review.
Yes. So bad, it's fantastic. But you love those kind of movies too. So
I love those movies.
There you go. That should be
I'm trying to watch The Room again, but I just haven't found enough time. You know, because I really want to watch it again and digest it, analyze it, and you know.
Okay, you want to watch it again?
I do.
All right.
Yes.
Let's do that next weekend.
We absolutely should.
There we go. Perfect. We got our weekend plans made.
Everybody should watch the Room.
All right. So there we go. Now you know what we're up to this weekend. All right. How about we move from our personal lives? We got to get to news topics. And it's a big one this week in the world of sports. So let's hit the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face.
Yep. Sports coming at you in your face.
This is the week I've been waiting for.
Yes, it is. Mike is very happy. It is the beginning of the 2021 NFL season.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitching fucking football.
Yes.
That's right.
There you go. Kick off the football season with the Angry Video Game Nerd sound clip there. All right. I figure this is something we haven't done yet. We usually do this a little bit earlier in the year, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been busy on the podcast.
Yes. So let's go over the Philadelphia Eagles schedule, and we're going to try and see... We're going to try and predict how well the Eagles will fare this year.
Yep.
So up first, this is their season opener. They go to Atlanta against the Falcons. What do you think, Mike?
You know, I think that the Eagles have a decent chance of winning against Atlanta. Atlanta... They didn't really do much last season.
No. They added Kyle Pitts.
Oh, my God. That's right. Oh, never mind. This is a loss.
Thank you. That's a loss.
I forgot about Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
Oh,
I think that's a loss, especially away on the road. I think that's a tough opener.
Oh, man. This is the segment where I realize that you're correct in going under six, right?
So I said earlier when we were first talking about Las Vegas lines and stuff, the Las Vegas line was 6.5 total wins for the Eagles. I would go under.
So after this, maybe we place a bet.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
All right.
Week two, 49ers come to Philly.
So we're hosting the 49ers. They're running with Jimmy Garoppolo, from what I understand you told me before the show. Actually, from looking at the betting odds, people think they might go far.
Yeah,
this season.
Mm-hmm. They have a good defense.
So, unfortunately, I think this one might also be a bubble one. I think maybe they lose the home opener as well.
All right, there you go. Week three, Monday night game. Eagles have to go to Dallas.
At Dallas, that's a loss.
Yeah, I agree there as well. And it's only going to get worse here, folks. Week four, Kansas City, Andy Reid, Big Red comes to Philly.
That is also a loss.
Yep.
We have no shot. Like some of these other games, like Atlanta, San Fran, Dallas, like you can make arguments either way.
It's a rough start. This is a rough start.
Really rough start. Kansas City, though, that is absolutely 110% a loss.
Yep. Week five, Eagles go to Carolina.
Now, here's one that I think they could actually steal. Mm-hmm. I think out of these first five games, I think they have the best chance against Carolina.
Okay, so you want me to put that one as a win?
Yeah, I say put that one as a win. Who's Carolina running with at quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, see, I don't think that inspires much hope in me for the Panthers, unfortunately.
Okay. Then week six, Tom Terrific comes to town, the Super Bowl defending champions.
That's a loss as well.
You are a secret Brady fan, you son of a bitch.
I said that's a loss. What do you want from me? It's going to be, what, you want me to say they're going to beat Tom Brady and the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Tampa Bay?
No, I just love to make fun of you on that.
I know you do.
The one caveat, though, with that game is that is a Thursday night game. I wonder if that could, you know, if there was even a sliver of hope, it would be that.
Tom Brady's old, so maybe he can't get back into game shape in just 4 days.
So that could maybe be the sliver of hope. But other than that, I agree with you. I don't see the Eagles pulling that one off. Then week seven, Eagles go to Vegas.
I'm going to go back to Tampa Bay real quick.
What?
The Eagles did beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was with a whole different team.
Yeah, a whole different team.
A whole different head coach, too.
Yeah. But
there's nothing. There's nothing from the 17 team on this. Uh-uh.
We still have a
Fletcher Cox.
Relatively strong defensive front four.
That's it.
Brandon Graham
Brandon Graham, or two.
You show some respect for that defensive line, two. Rich.
Week 7, Eagles go to Vegas.
This one I think could be a win.
It's possible. You just never know what you're going to get with the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, you could... You know, they're one of those weird, like, middle-of-the-road teams. You know, 8-9 wins, something like
that. Yeah, and so you don't know what John Gruden is going to do.
They're kind of in constant disarray, though.
Yeah.
So I think I give the slight edge to the Eagles, but just ever so slightly. Put it as a win for now.
Okay, we're going to put that as a win. Here's another good team going to Detroit.
Now, this is actually interesting.
That should be a win.
This should be a win, but they got Matt Stafford. No.
They have Jared Goff.
Jared Goff now.
Wrong quarterback.
I know. I got them mixed up. I'm looking forward to this week, but I haven't prepared at all. Clearly.
You're a little tired from Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
All right. Then the Chargers come to Philly.
I think this one might be a loss.
I think that's a loss. Chargers are a pretty good roster.
I think Justin Herbert's
on the ascent.
Yeah, they're on the ascent. I think that could be a tough game for the Eagles.
Then week 10, Eagles go to Denver.
It'll be tough to play them in Denver, but I think that we could sneak away with a win here.
I
don't have much confidence.
Denver, I just can't believe how they refuse to get a decent quarterback.
Right, which is why I think that the Eagles could sneak away with a win here.
You would think Denver, with some of the weapons they have and the way their defense is built, like, they really could. If they had just, like, a top, I don't know, 12 or top 15 quarterback, they could probably, you know, make some sort of postseason push.
Right.
But they settled for Teddy Bridgewater this year. And, I mean, he's good, but he's not.
Bridgewater is a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to add wins to your total.
No.
So what should we do here?
I think give the Eagles the benefit of the doubt. You know, hear me out. We're getting deeper into the season. Maybe they're getting their footing a little bit. We have a lot of young guys.
So,
maybe, you know, with the added experience.
You want to go with a win there?
See, give them the win. Give them the win.
Okay. All right.
Because they're going to lose this next one.
Yep. Then they got the Saints.
I don't care who the quarterback is with the Saints. We can't keep up with Michael Thomas.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Darius Slay, I mean, I don't think he could keep up with them.
Okay, then we have the Giants.
So we should be able to beat the Giants. I think out of all the division opponents, the Giants should be the team that we can win games against.
Okay. Then still in New York, Jets. They go back to back. Giants, Jets.
Dear Lord, this should be a win. This is the added game.
Yeah.
This is the awkward added game.
Correct.
So. This is interesting because they're going back-to-back weeks in the Meadowlands, just with different teams.
Right, right. So they're staying in New York.
Yeah. They should win.
Okay. Then they have the bye week, finally, week 14.
That is a really late bye week. I mean, and this is such a huge detriment to this team with a lot of new players in an extended season. To have it that late, it's going to be brutal after 2 weeks on the road, even if it's just down the road. You know, this is just not a great position for the bye week.
Then it's all division opponents from here on out. We got the first meeting with Washington in Philly.
I'll give them one against Washington in Philly. Home field advantage coming off a bye. I think they could probably sneak one out.
All right. Then the second meeting against the Giants.
They should be able to sweep the Giants. The Giants are... You don't think so?
No, considering Daniel Jones ran 80 yards on us.
Okay, that was a different regime, though.
No, it's the same exact one. Are you talking about the Eagles are the same?
The Eagles.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Giants are a different regime.
No. The Eagles have a different, you know, head coach, different game plan, different everything in place. I don't think they'll let Daniel Jones run for 85 yards again. If they do, then we don't deserve to win any games.
All right,
but
so...
they should... Look, out of all the division opponents, the Giants... are one of the worst in the division, one of the worst in the league, right there alongside the Eagles. The Eagles have the potential to, I think, sweep the Giants like they have many years in the past.
When they were good. All right, week 17.
Hold on, you really think the Giants can beat the Eagles?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if Saquon Barkley is 100%. Oh, yeah. I think there's a chance.
Keep some faith, Rich.
I'm a Philadelphia fan. There is no faith.
There is no God.
Week 17, second meeting against Washington.
That we lose.
All right. And then the season finale, Dallas comes to Philadelphia.
That we also lose.
All right. So you have the Eagles at 8-9.
Eight?
Yeah.
No, what eight games did I say they won?
You have, according to what you just said, you have them winning versus Carolina, versus Raiders, versus Lions, versus Broncos, two for New York and the Jets, and then splitting Washington.
All right, take one away from New York, 7. I don't think they go under 6. I don't think they go under 6.5.
Yeah, okay. My edit.
Okay, so yeah, what's your edit?
My edit would be they lose more division games. I think the division actually got better. They could lose both Washington games. Ryan Fitzpatrick has a habit of burning us. You remember that one? Remember, was it the Dolphins?
You think he's going to burn us twice?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Okay,
it's magic.
All right, so wait, hold on. What do you have them going in the division?
I would probably 2-4.
That's what I just said. Take away one of the New York.
No,
games.
You have them winning both Giants.
I said take away one of the New York ones.
So then they're like 3-3 because you have them losing. What,
I have
two and two?
I have them. They're swept by Dallas, and they split Washington and New York. So it's 2-4.
So you have 2-4. All right, I guess I would have like 1-5.
1-5.
The division got a little bit better while the
got
Eagles
a
were
better,
cleaning house.
Yeah, but it's still the worst division in football.
Yeah. And the Eagles are dealing with a new head coach, essentially a new quarterback. I know he played 4 games last year, but he didn't really show that much. I mean,
every report out of training camp says that Jalen Hurts has been impressive.
That's good for training camp. There's a whole different level when it's actually the season on the line. It's a whole different ball game. I am not expecting much. And I also think the way the schedule is set up also hurts the Eagles, too, with that rough stretch for the first 6 games of the season.
Yes, they have a rough stretch, but they also added talent in the secondary. They added talent at wide receiver. They have the line coming back at full strength, something that we didn't have for long stretches of last season. And Jalen Hurts now with a full offseason to learn a new system that teams have not seen yet. And a dual threat quarterback that teams don't have a lot of tape on, I think you're undervaluing a lot of these intangibles that could, in certain cases, swing in the Eagles' favor. I think especially in a weak division, late in the season where anything is up for grabs, especially with
a
lot of these games are at home too late in the season. And coming off a bye, yes, it's late. We're going to lose a lot before the bye. But hopefully that rest and that final stretch, having 3 out of 4 at home, I think it's crucial. I think we do go 2-4 in the division, and I think we end up 7-10. I hate this. I hate the season.
You hate doing the new math?
I think that's the worst part, is the fact that they added that stupid game, and now nothing sounds right. 7-10? It's been 7-9 since I was born. How dare they?
Yeah, what are we supposed to do now? but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too critical, but maybe that's just a Philly fan in me.
Okay, so if you have them going 1-5, I guess that puts you exactly at 6-11.
And I think to start out the season, they're probably going to be 1-5 or 0-6. It's going to be a rough stretch this first start of the season.
Oh, I agree there. I think they only win against Carolina in that like first half of the season, basically.
Well, I think that's a good transition to this part of the sports sampler. Bringing it back. It is time to bring back the Fantastic Four picks, week number one of the NFL 2021 NFL season. We are here at last. Mike, what games should we look at for the Fantastic Four
Well,
picks?
First up, we have the season opener on Thursday. If you're watching the podcast, that's tomorrow night. If you're listening to it, it's on right now. Go check it out. It's the Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The team that the NFL and ESPN always wants to win the Super Bowl versus the team that actually won the Super Bowl in a primetime matchup. Rich, can Brady start the season off on the right foot with a win against Dallas?
Absolutely. Although Dallas is going to be better and they got Dak back, I still see that they're going to have some problems getting up to speed with this season. Whereas Tom Brady coming off a Super Bowl win, it's hard to bet against Tom Brady. And I think, you know what, something else too that's weird is Dallas is trying to claim that they're the underdogs in this. Like, Jerry Jones has been...
They have such a martyr complex, okay? Can we just get one thing straight? Dallas, they're always like, oh, woe is me. But then they're also like, America's team. No, you can only have one of those things.
Yeah.
You can't have both. You can't both be a martyr and America's team. Pick one.
Yeah. It's a weird vibe I'm getting from this Cowboys team. Yeah. I don't think it happens week one. I think Brady takes the win to start off the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Bucs pick up where they left off. They get a win here against Dallas. I just think Brady... I don't think Dallas is going to be that good. Like, yes, their offense has tons of weapons, but their defense is just not there.
No.
And Brady, he just knows what he's doing. And the Dallas Cowboys, they have, you know, they have cohesion issues, they have defense issues, they have COVID issues as well, still a factor here in the 2021 season. So I think the Bucs win it easy.
Yep.
Next, we have two AFC contenders. The Pittsburgh Steelers are traveling to Buffalo to face off against one of, I think, the best teams in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills. Rich, who do you like in this one?
I really like the Buffalo Bills in this matchup. I see this being a pretty one-sided affair here. I don't trust the Steelers. I know there's been reports that they're looking good in practice and everything, but I just can't see Big Ben Roethlisberger at, what, age 38, 39?
With injury concerns.
With injury concerns, hobbling around, leading this team to a postseason berth. I don't see it happening. Whereas the Bills, everything's going in the right direction for them. They got... Josh Allen, that's on his way to being a top five quarterback. Defense is elite, coming off of last year's performance. And I think this is all Bills. I don't see how this swings into the Steelers' favor.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement here. The Steelers, I think, are going to be decent this year. They always are. But what did I say before the podcast? Where I said Father Time comes for everyone at some point. And Big Ben, you know, I thought last year may have been his last year. He's got injury concerns. He's old. I just don't see him being able to compete.
There you go. We have a chime.
See that? Even Windows agrees with me. That agrees with the both of us that Buffalo is going to win this game.
There you go.
So we have Microsoft's stamp of approval. Let's see if it also agrees with this next matchup. We've got to silence those notifications.
Yeah, whoops.
We have a playoff rematch between the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs. Who thought we'd ever be talking about a matchup like this? Rich, this is an intriguing one. The Cleveland Browns are not to be written off.
No.
They proved that last year. What do you think? Who gets the early jump start here?
You know, Cleveland might be able to pull this one off. They've got more weapons, you know, in terms of everyone coming back that's healthy. I can't wait to see Odell jive in this offense with a running engine between Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I mean, if those three pieces are all working together, there's no reason why Baker Mayfield can't have a successful season this year. But at the same time, it's still hard to go against Big Red and Patrick Mahomes. I think the Chiefs will get the edge just slightly in a close victory.
This is a really tough one. I saw this match when I was like, wow, you know, this could very well be. I hesitated to put, you know, playoff preview, but I think both these teams are going to be there at the end in the AFC playoffs. It's so tough because the Cleveland Browns are definitely still on the ascent. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs got embarrassed in the Super Bowl. They got exposed. Could they be suffering a little bit from a Super Bowl loser's curse in this season? I think potentially, but just not against the Browns in week one. I think week one, Andy Reid does a good job of preparing his teams. I think they win this one, but I don't think they reach the same levels as they did last season.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong, but I, it's so close. I want to say Browns. Like, in my heart, I want to say Browns, but in my mind, I'm like, no, the Chiefs are still better on paper. So I'm going to give the slight edge to the Chiefs just like you did.
All right.
And finally, we have the hometown Philadelphia Eagles at the Atlanta Falcons. Rich, it's a battle of the birds. Which bird will rule the roost?
I think the Falcons are going to pull this one off. Matt Ryan, I think, is still a quality quarterback. I know there's criticisms on him, but coming into this year, he's got weapons. You know, Calvin Ridley is somebody that's not to be underestimated. Now you got Kyle Pitts as their number one tight end, who can pretty much do everything as a receiver. I think this one is prime for the Falcons to take, especially with the Eagles, you know, trying to handle a new head coach, everything like that. I think the Falcons take this one.
This is such a tough one because I don't necessarily trust the Falcons, but I have the same amount of trust in the Philadelphia Eagles. I know, see, tight ends always give us trouble, and Kyle Pitts being such a dominant, not just tight end, but hybrid style player where he could, you know, line up anywhere really on the offense. But the Falcons, on the other hand, will have their own issues to deal with the Eagles. I mean, Devonta Smith, I mean, you know, everybody said that either him or Ja'Marr Chase were the two best wide receivers. So we have, you know, we can't forget the fact that we have a top 10 draft prospect, and we don't know what that's going to bring to the offense. Jalen Reagor as well, another year in the offense. Not the offense because it's a new one, but with the team, you know, maybe we come out and we shock some people. This sucks.
We better make a pick soon.
All right, I'm going to go with, you know what? No, I'm going to keep the faith, even though I said they would lose this game just a few minutes earlier. I'm going to say the Eagles win. I'm going to say the Eagles shock in week one and then come crashing back down to earth in week two.
All right, there you go.
I have to give us some positivity, Rich. The entire segment, we were just talking about how bad the Eagles are, Maybe they surprise here. Miles Sanders, healthy offensive line, new weapons, new coach, quarterback that people don't have a lot of tape on. We could surprise here.
All right. Well, there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number one of the NFL season. There you go. With the special dance music, too.
I like that.
It's been so long since we played that. I didn't know what it was called. I was trying to find where was the file.
Is that the Fantastic Four music?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But, like, it's been so long because we couldn't do it at all last year because of COVID. Right. And we didn't have the equipment to do it virtually. So that was like the first time we played that in 2 years.
Yeah.
So weird. Damn COVID just messing everything up. But there you go. That will wrap up sports for right now. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. But don't go anywhere because coming up next, we still got the entertainment entree. And then this week's odd news and the non-fortune cookie odd news. So still more shows still to come. We'll be right back. Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. Hopefully, you know, You know what I'm doing? I'm expecting the worst from the Eagles. So that way, if they are good, it's a whole surprise and it's a win-win.
Exactly. You always got
Philadelphia,
you know,
mentality. Expect the worst.
I have to try and have a little bit of hope, though. I know they're going to be terrible. I know they're going to be bad. I just got to give me something, Rich.
Yeah, I don't know what something I can give you.
I don't know.
It could be it could get dicey real fast.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's not looking great.
Right. Well, that's why we don't have just sports here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We also have the world of entertainment with the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Yeah, there you go. Entertainment entree time. Let's go right into the segment where Mike is going to let you know what to keep an eye out for with movies, TV, and video games this week in Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what do you got for us?
All right. Well, this week in entertainment, first up, just a quick note. Video games, a new month means new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. So if you've subscribed to either service, make sure you go pick up your free games starting this week. But in the world of TV, we have a fun show returning to Netflix. Lucifer begins its sixth season on Netflix this Friday, September 10th. Rich is a fan of it. My cousin Josh was a fan of it. My parents are a fan of it. I've never seen it. Rich, tell me, what is the deal with Lucifer? What makes this so interesting?
Lucifer is a great show. It started out on broadcast TV, which it never should have been.
With a title like Lucifer, it makes you think that it should be a streaming show.
Yeah.
I assume it's about the devil.
Yes. It kind of morphed into a weird crime procedural show, but when it moved from Fox to Netflix, it really found its footing as more of being a supernatural drama show, and that's where it shines, in my opinion.
Okay.
Although there are some episodes that are great in the first three seasons, the latter seasons on Netflix is really where it's hit its stride. And it's been a fantastic show to binge and watch and enjoy. So I'm a little bittersweet that this is coming to an end, but I'm interested to see how they wrap up this show, especially after the way they ended last season. So it's been a little bit of a breaking development in the spiritual world that happens in the fifth at the end of the fifth season. So
okay,
it'll be interesting to see how they try and finish this off in the sixth and final season.
I like what you said about supernatural drama. See, that intrigues me more than procedural.
Yeah.
Network shows tend to go the procedural route. You know, there's so many cop shows.
Yeah.
It's a cop show with a gimmick. It's a cop paired with a doctor, paired with a lawyer, paired with the devil, whatever it is. It's the same shtick.
Yeah.
It's a fish out of water cop.
Right. But when Netflix took it, you know, bought the rights to it, took it over, they made it into something even more on a grander scale, okay. and it really works.
Interesting. So there you go, everyone. Check out Lucifer this Friday on Netflix for some supernatural drama.
Yeah, and also the guy that plays Lucifer is awesome. I forgot his name now off the top of my head, but
wow. He
is the perfect guy to cast for Lucifer.
To play the devil?
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy was born to play the devil.
Wow.
Like, he fits perfectly.
Okay, there you go. So go check out Lucifer if you want some devilishly good TV. If you want some devilishly dumb TV, go check out a new Peacock exclusive. I can't believe I'm going to say this. A reality TV show, game show, based on a video game, Frogger, comes to Peacock this week.
Well, didn't they already do this with Seinfeld?
They did.
Yeah.
You're right. So
this isn't really that unique of an idea. There has been real world Frogger.
There have been real world Frogger, yeah.
Come on, NBC, do better.
you got to do better than this. I watched the trailer. It seems cringy AF. But if you want to see yet another obstacle course style show, go check out Frogger on Peacock. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, there you go. Thank you for that segment, Mike, this week in entertainment. All right, so this teaser trailer just debuted today after Labor Day, and everybody that is affiliated with this movie is talking with it. Anyone that is a fan of this movie, we're all talking about it. And that is the teaser trailer for the Matrix 4 movie, which they are going to call Matrix Resurrections. I love the fact that they're keeping the R.
I do like that. That is a good touch.
The alliteration is still strong with this franchise.
Yes.
This has been a very long time that this has laid dormant, and now it's suddenly here. Like, I wasn't even aware that like they had finished filming. Like, I remember hearing that the Lana Wachowski now is the person's name that did The Matrix and now doing Matrix 4. I had heard that she was, they were writing a script and they were getting Keanu Reeves on board and everything like that. But I didn't hear like the status of shooting and was it completed and anything like that. And then all of a sudden it's just like, bam, teaser trailer today. And it was like, whoa, all right.
Yeah, I had heard rumors online, this is in the works, this is going to happen. Everyone's so excited. Then all of a sudden it was just
done.
It was
it's
just
here.
Here, yeah.
Here it is. And apparently it's coming out both in theaters and on HBO Max. So another interesting decision there as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely makes the decision easy as to whether or not go see it. If you have HBO Max, I mean, just watch it. It's free.
Yep.
You know? But
does that hurt it a little bit? I hate to say it, but I think it does a little bit.
Hurt it in what regard?
That,
like, it's not the same impact as seeing it on the big screen, or do you mean as a testament to its quality?
I'm worried that this might not be in the same quality length as the other quality controls, the other three movies,
just because it's going to streaming and theater at the same
just
time. Because the latest Mortal Kombat did I get what you're saying. A lot of shows, movies that have premiered on streaming during the pandemic have not been great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's, if it's just because they're premiering on streaming or whether it was because filming during the pandemic may have hampered things, or maybe it's just Hollywood being Hollywood. You know, most movies are not good. As somebody who looks at, new releases for this week in entertainment, I can personally attest to the vast majority of films are trash. They've always been trash. Everybody says, movies used to be better. No, it's just because those are the ones we remember 50 years later. Most movies are trash. I've watched enough B-movies on Amazon Prime to know that. So I don't know, but I do get what you're saying, though, because most movies, like... Look at Disney Plus, Raya and the Last Dragon, Black Widow, simultaneous premieres, Mulan. They were all garbage.
Well, Black Widow wasn't...
I mean, I didn't see it.
No, but that wasn't...
It was Premier Access on Disney Plus.
But you had to pay more for it.
Yes, Premier Access.
Okay, I guess that falls into its
own category. So were the other ones, Mulan and whatchamacallit, Ray and the Last Dragon.
Yeah.
You're right, there is somewhat of an indictment against the quality, like Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, see, like, to me, it seems like if this was going to be like a top-tier movie, I feel like the movie studios wouldn't want this out on the streaming service right away. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. I don't know that there is, if it's going to...
A conscious decision on that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's, if it's coming out on streaming, it's absolutely going to be bad. There does seem to be a trend here.
Yeah.
That if it comes out on streaming, it's usually of... a lesser quality,
right,
with the exception of Pixar movies on Disney Plus. But that is, again, besides the Pixar movies and Mortal Kombat, which I genuinely thought was good, every other movie that I've seen that premiered on streaming was, to your point, subpar.
Yeah. I'm also kind of worried that this is, again, one of those things that it breaks the trilogy. Like, I as much as people like to crap on Matrix 2 and Matrix 3, I think that even though it may not be as good as the very first Matrix, I think it completes a nice story arc. I think it works as a standalone trilogy, and it's a nice story that is nice and fleshed out and works in the universe. Now you're throwing a curveball, and now it's Matrix 4, and it's like, oh, so then the story's not over. And I'm worried that's going to kind of take away a little bit from whatever happens in the Matrix trilogy, the original trilogy, which can happen. I hate to say it, but see Star Wars. Like, I kind of feel like after watching the sequel trilogy, it kind of ruins Return of the Jedi a little bit. It's like, oh, then Luke didn't stop all the evil forces in space then, because
right.
We have the sequel trilogy. You know, like, as much as people like to say, oh, that shouldn't affect your viewing of a previous movie, it still kind of does. So I'm worried that this may have the same effect if it's not good, that it kind of ruins, or it leaves a bad taste in your mouth thinking of the Matrix franchise, which is a shame, because I really think the Matrix film franchise is a great series of films. I know Matrix Revolution is not, people kind of scoff on it, and I think there is some validity to some of the criticisms in Matrix 3, but I think overall...
I was one that did not care for the sequels.
I think overall, if you really go back and look at 1, 2, especially 1 and 2, I really like Matrix Reloaded. Reloaded, I really find an enjoyable ride, but again, people love to criticize on it. I think it's a good story told between the three movies.
Okay. I see what you're saying. My issue here is, you know, to your point about adding on to the trilogy and, you know, damaging the legacy of it. My biggest problem is not the fact that there's a fourth movie, but the fact that it's, almost 20 years later.
Yeah, it's a long gap.
The Matrix Revolutions came out in 2003. We're now at, 18 years later?
Yeah, it's a long gap.
I understand the hypocrisy in saying this. You know, I'm really looking forward to the next Ghostbusters movie, which has the same flaw. But I think the difference is that Ghostbusters, was it Afterlife?
Yeah.
They're taking it in a different direction. Whereas watching the teaser trailer for Matrix Resurrections, I mean, it's right there in the title, Resurrections. They're bringing back this franchise literally from the dead, because dead is what it is. Okay. I mean, since 2003, we've had no Matrix, movie releases.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, it was a critical and commercial flop. I'm looking at the numbers here, almost half of what the second movie brought in worldwide. Review scores in the toilet as well. And so to try and go back to something that was buried, I mean, quite literally for two decades, is, I think, an odd choice. And I think they're mostly doing it because Keanu Reeves is really hot right now. Between the Bill and Ted revival, the John Wick, craze. I think also the fact that Keanu Reeves is an internet meme. They know they're going to sell tickets because Keanu Reeves' name is attached to the film. And people are going to go see it to support good guy Keanu Reeves and sad Keanu Reeves and all the other memes out there. And I really do think that it is I'm worried that, and I don't think it will be. This is a completely, fantastical worry here, but I'm going to say it anyway, that, it's a quick cash grab.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 years later, a franchise that's dead, they're clearly trying to capitalize on the pop cultural relevance of Keanu Reeves right now. I mean, bring back a franchise that only brought in $420 million worldwide?
That's not that far-fetched of an argument, especially considering when you look at the cast list on this, it's literally only Neo and Trinity coming back from the original. I mean, pretty much. Morpheus, Lawrence Fishburne is not in this movie. Agent Smith, he's not in this movie. I mean, that's not to say that outright strikes out the movie, but at the same time, that is a little worrisome that major players from the main trilogy are not in this.
Three. Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss, and Jada Pinkett Smith, who had a, you know, sort of secondary role. There's the only three. No, nobody else.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris is in it for some reason.
There you go.
I see on the Wikipedia page. So, you know, I don't know. It worries me a little bit. The trailer was really cool.
Yeah.
So I'll say that. The trailer was really cool. The trailer makes me want to see it. I will watch it on HBO Max.
Yes.
I will partake. But I'm one of those people that thought that Reloaded and Revolutions was not good. I thought they were all over the place. I thought it was nonsensical. You know, I never had any desire to rewatch the second and third movies. I thought the first movie was fantastic. Yes. Revolutionary for its time. Like, invented so many things that you hadn't seen in movies and you've seen lots of times since. You know, Bullet Time.
Yep.
Absolutely stunning, right? When it first came out. And then it just got so... It became too self-absorbed. Like, it got very, like, into its own mythos, and I think to its detriment, it was trying to be way too heady and way too involved, and it just got messy, and, you know, they lost the reins a little bit on it in 2 and 3, and my fear is that, you know, trying to continue on from a derailed, buried corpse of a franchise is going to make a derailed, you know...
Fourth movie. That's fair. I tell you what, though. I really do like Reloaded, though. I really like the second one.
I honestly don't remember anything from those movies. That, like, the first movie I can remember, the second and third were completely forgettable to me.
The second one I really enjoyed between some of the new characters, the French Merigovian, where that they're eating in the restaurant scene, and, like, he has, like... He talks about, like, fate and stuff, and he gives, like, some customer cake that, like, makes the girl orgasm. Like, yeah, you don't even remember that.
No, I don't.
Yeah. There's some good parts in Reloaded. I remember that scene.
Okay.
And I love the architect, the old guy at the end of the movie explaining, like, how he created the Matrix and stuff. He uses, like, these big, like, apropos and...
apropos.
Yeah.
He used words like apropos.
I have never heard another human being naturally use the word apropos in conversation. And, like, there's another one. Vis-a-vis. And, like, all these, like, weird, like, yeah, like, that was just, like, somebody had to look up, unless this person actually exists in real life, somebody, like, went into, like, the thesaurus or the dictionary and was like, what are some fancy phrases to use while... doing exposition dialogue.
The screenwriter was like, how can I make this character seem as pretentious and pompous as possible?
Apropos, of course.
Yeah. Indubitably.
Yeah. Ergo. That was another one, too.
Ergo, indubitably, the vis-a-vis apropos.
If you go back and rewatch the scene with the architect, it is hilarious how many, like, weird phrases he uses, and you're like, nobody uses these phrases in commonplace talk.
I've heard maybe these phrases maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Like, in 32 years on this earth, I mean, like, used naturally.
Right.
Right? Like, once or twice. Like, less than a handful. Yeah.
Right.
Nobody goes around saying apropos.
Right.
I think I have maybe said it once myself.
Vis-a-vis. Yeah.
Never vis-a-vis.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody says stuff like that.
Right. So, I don't know. Maybe that's why it strikes a chord with me, because I love... You like the weird. Yeah, I love people with, like, weird natural inflections or words that they love to use. So that always gets me going. Yeah, I'm like, ooh, that's it. What's he talking about?
So maybe you'll really enjoy Resurrections then.
But that's the thing. I don't know. Is it going to be like, you know,
it's going to
be like that? Is it
going to
be
bad?
Like Revolutions?
Here's the thing.
To me, Revolutions is where it lost its way.
Revolutions
really
was
rough.
It was bad. Here's the thing. I think a Matrix movie in today's world would be very interesting, especially with the technology available to filmmakers now and just where we are in the information age and how things have changed culturally and societally. I think a Matrix movie would be very apropos. However, I feel like going back to your point about the legacy of these things, I'm not worried about it damaging the legacy. I'm worried about the damaged legacy lingering.
Okay. with that, I think we got to end that because we got to get to another topic in entertainment that you want to talk about here with video games.
Yes. So
vis-a-vis, go.
Vis-a-vis, I will go. So recently, PlayStation announced that their exclusive Horizon Forbidden West opened up pre-orders. Unfortunately, it was a little bit of a PR nightmare for Sony because Sony had previously promised PlayStation 4 owners of the game that they could upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version for free. So Horizon Forbidden West is a cross-generation release for on PlayStation 4 and 5, and they previously said that PlayStation 4 owners could upgrade for free. When they announced pre-orders, people noticed that there was no way to upgrade. There was no mention of it, and that certain copies of the game, certain pre-order bundles included both copies. And then there were certain versions that had one copy or the other, but no mention anywhere of any sort of ability to upgrade. And then it turns out that Sony confirmed there was no way to upgrade from the PlayStation 4 version to the PlayStation 5 version, even if paying a fee. So this, of course, makes everybody very angry. They said, yeah. But you promised. And they did. They did promise. And then they were going back on it, maybe hoping that nobody would notice. People noticed because it's the internet and it's 2021. So, of course, Sony had to walk back and promise everyone that there would be a free upgrade for the PlayStation 4 owners of the game to the PlayStation 5 version. But then they also said this. All future exclusives that are cross-generation will have an upgrade fee. So if you buy the PlayStation 4 version of God of War Ragnarok and you later want to play it on PlayStation 5, you'll have to pay $10. To upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version.
Is it only $10?
It's only $10.
Okay.
So, but this starts a firestorm and it's sort of a debate online about how to handle cross-generation titles. Because there are people that obviously don't have a PlayStation 5 yet. They want to play these games, so they want to get it on PlayStation 4 and then potentially play that with the added benefits of the PlayStation 5 version later when they get a PlayStation 5. So now people are falling into one of a couple different camps. People say, one, that we shouldn't even have these cross-generation titles. We should be developing for the new consoles. You know, that Horizon Forbidden West, God of War Ragnarok would be better games if they only developed them for PlayStation 5. That we're 2 years into a console cycle, that they should only be on PlayStation 5. There's a group of people that are saying, if they're going to be cross-gen, they should offer an ability to upgrade, and they should do it for free. It's only right because it's being made on both consoles. And then there's some people that are saying, yeah, we should be able to get an upgrade, but how is it fair that PlayStation 4 owners can pay $60 and then later upgrade for free, that instead PlayStation 4 owners should pay $10 to upgrade to the more expensive PlayStation 5 version of the game, which retail at $70 instead of $60. So it would be the difference. So, Rich, this is something that I don't think we've ever seen in video games before. This, yeah. Like, cross-generation. Because going from PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, there was no backwards compatibility. We didn't have to deal with this. If you bought a game on PlayStation 3, you were on PlayStation 3. But PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 have sort of muddied the waters here by making games playable, you know, PlayStation 4 games on PlayStation 5. And then also because they're all digital and easy to patch, you know, gamers in their minds are like, well, if you can just add in the higher resolutions, just give it to us. What do you think? This is kind of a tricky situation for these game developers and publishers.
It is, but I think this is one of those situations where you have to look back on the fact that if this was a situation where if it was cartridges back in the 90s, there wouldn't be any sympathy for you because,
right?
You know, when there was a new console, that was it. You either had one or the other. And
sometimes they went from cartridge to disc.
Yeah. And that was, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
I would say the $10 fee is probably the best compromise. I would agree that there should be some sort of upgrade fee to make it so. But at the same time, it shouldn't be you have to buy a whole nother copy of the game if you upgrade to PlayStation 5 in the middle of your playthrough.
Right.
Especially when you're talking about games that are so long and so massive. Like, I don't know, maybe God of War comes out. Is God of War going to be on 4?
Yeah, God of War Ragnarok's going to be on 4 and 5.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's going to be a huge, massive game. Let's say you're 5 hours in on the PlayStation 4 version, and then, I don't know, let's say things get better, and maybe, I don't know,
you come into a PlayStation 5.
Right, something happens.
Right.
You get a PS5. So what do? Do you just... You have to pay another $80 to pay for the same copy of a game that you already own. I think that's not fair. I think that would be, to me, the worst case scenario out of everything being presented. I think that's the most unfair situation. So I would say there should be some sort of fee, but it should only be the cost between the two generations.
And you know what? I actually agree with you. I think that paying the difference is a fair compromise. You know, I'm not trying to be a corporate apologist here, you know, far from it. But I think it's a little, I don't know if this is a younger generation complaining about these things, because you're right, because back in the day,
you would have no sympathy. That's the way it is.
Forget about back in the day. They are re-releasing Grand Theft Auto 5 again.
Yeah.
There's no upgrade from the PlayStation 4 version to the PlayStation 5 version. They're expecting you to pay $70 for a new version of Grand Theft Auto 5. How about Skyrim? Elder Scrolls Skyrim, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and again, PlayStation 5. What about every time Nintendo re-releases Mario 64 at full price?
Oh, Super Mario 64, yeah.
Or Pokemon games at full price. So this is not a new thing, and I think that the $10 difference is more consumer-friendly than what some other developers are doing. Because if we're going to drag Sony here and PlayStation here, we also have to drag Rockstar for their policies on Grand Theft Auto V and Bethesda for their policies on The Elder Scrolls Skyrim and Nintendo for constantly re-releasing every single Super Nintendo game 4, 5, 6 times.
That is true.
So in a weird way, this is something that's never happened in games and something that's always happened in games. I think what makes it different now is because the lines are so blurred between the console generations.
Yeah.
Because before, you're right, it was PlayStation 3 hard stop, PlayStation 4, you know, or PlayStation 1 hard
stop. Nintendo 64 hard stop GameCube.
Right, exactly.
Literally cartridge to disc.
Cartridge to disc. There was no way of going back and forth between the two, you know, and when consoles were backwards compatible, developers made a game for PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2, never at the same time. But because of the advent of these digital consoles, things are different because now they're making both versions at the same time. And it's essentially what people are arguing, the same game, just with higher resolutions, faster frame rates, whatever, you know, et cetera, added on. I think that's not telling the whole story because these games are also way more expensive and way more, you know, require way more development on the company's parts. You know, I saw a figure that games are going to, you know, in the next year or two, cost upwards of $230 million to make a game. I mean, these are approaching Hollywood blockbuster levels of development costs.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you know, we should, you know, again, be corporate apologists and pay whatever, but game prices haven't increased in 15 years. You know, we've been, really think about it. Remember, you know, games used to go up every console generation.
Yep.
And game prices haven't gone up since the PlayStation 3 generation. They've been $60 for a while now.
So it was due.
And again, I'm not trying to say like, oh, you know, we should, you know, because preferably, I would like to continue paying cheaper prices and upgrade for free. I mean, in a perfect world, that would be the solution, but it's not. And you have to, unfortunately, I think you should support the creators And I think the $10 difference is a fair compromise. If you choose to buy a cheaper version and then later expect the better version for free, that's just not the way the world works.
No.
Like, imagine if this were any other product. If you go buy a car and then they come out with a new model, you're like, I want to, you know, go up to the next one for free.
That's not how this works.
That's not how any of this works.
Yeah.
You know?
Or another simple solution is go PC.
Or
PC
go
masteries.
PC. You keep saying that, but you don't.
I've been thinking about it, but graphics cards right now are so expensive. But I really
do.
Are
you going to completely forsake consoles for PC?
I don't know. I just one day wow. I want one day I want to build like a massive like PC battle station.
That would be cool.
But
that
I have no money.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that in mind, let's get to the final portion of the show. It's time for some non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part.
Back,
never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news!
That's right, everyone. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird and wacky story and keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reaction is my genuine gut reaction to hearing this story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. Rich, where are we heading to first?
Oh, boy, you're going to love this story.
Uh-oh. All right, what do we got?
First off, it is, of course, a Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Boy.
Good old Florida.
Wait till you hear what this guy did in an entire day. This guy...
Was he busy?
Very busy.
In a very packed schedule? Okay.
Very busy Florida man here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the case of 25-year-old Nicholas Ruthenberg.
Ruthenberg. Wow, that sounds like a right proper name.
Yeah, well, this guy, he's got a lot of things to do.
Okay.
So last Monday, this guy, where do I start? First thing is he got married. So I guess that's good. Congratulations, to him. So first off, that happened. That's not even the biggest part of this story. That's like a footnote in this story. So
yikes. So getting married is like the least notable thing that happened.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay, so
off to a good start then.
Gets married, then police charge that Nicholas Ruthenberg was driving down the wrong way on a Vero Beach Street late Monday afternoon.
Okay.
So there you go, he's already just...
He just got married, his head's like, you know, all over the place, he's, you know, so filled with emotion and thoughts, and he just... You know, he from the excitement of the day, he doesn't know what side of the road he's driving on. Totally understandable.
Yeah, so very, and he's got to go to the Vero Beach. Very, very important. He's got to get to the beach.
Exactly.
You get married, then you enjoy the beach.
Why not? Yeah, maybe it was a beach wedding. I don't know.
Very good. So on the way down to the beach, he struck a vehicle that was traveling in the opposite direction.
That tends to happen when you're driving in the opposite lane of traffic.
Yeah, sorry. That's not good.
Because you done goofed.
Yeah.
Ruthenberg then ran from the scene of the crash.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
So he's then running around this Vero Beach.
Wait, running around or driving around?
He's running because the car's crashed now.
How? Oh, so he abandoned the car.
Yes.
Was the car no longer operational?
I believe so. Police reported that the crash did cause the other person to have to go to the hospital.
Oh, my
to
God.
To check his neck, back, and leg for pain. So
oh my,
he did.
Jeez.
This was a very serious car accident.
Okay, so gets married. Is he still in his wedding attire?
I don't know.
I like to imagine like he left the wedding, you know, just married. The cans are on the back of the car, and like that's when he crashes. Like he's driving his just married car with the cans into another car, gets out of the car, and he's just like running from the scene of the crime in his wedding. You know, get up. You know, and the bride is, like, still in the car freaking out.
Well, the bride's not with him. He's on his own. I don't know what happened. He got married and said, bye, honey. Like, I got to get to the beach. Sorry.
Thanks, babe. I'll see you later. I'm hitting the town with the guys.
I got to go to the beach.
Who is this guy?
And this is also Monday afternoon. So,
Jesus.
Literally.
Also, who gets married on a Monday afternoon?
Yeah. This is happening Monday afternoon. So he must have gotten
married first thing Monday.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I got to get married early in the morning because I got stuff to do.
I got to go to the beach.
I got
to
look. We got to get this thing done, right? 10 a.m. I got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Because I got to go.
Hurry up. I got to go to the beach. Okay. So gets in this car accident, abandons the car, starts running around the beach.
Okay.
And apparently people were saying that as he was running around, he was screaming at the top of his lungs. So he's just...
as one does when they run.
Just doing this on a loop. Finally, cops arrived. It just took them to now at this point.
Jeez.
For them to finally arrive. They finally subdue him.
Okay.
They took a breathalyzer on him and found he had no alcohol in his system.
Interesting. Drugs, then. It had to be drugs.
So I,
all the drugs. Most of the drugs.
Whatever you want to believe, he was not drunk at this time.
Okay.
He had no... His alcohol level was 0.0, so he had no alcohol. No, not a
wow.
drink. No congratulatory drink. Nothing.
He didn't even have a glass of champagne at the wedding.
Yeah,
nothing?
Come on. Have at least a glass of champagne. Something.
That's why he was upset. That's why he was screaming. He didn't have anything to drink at the wedding.
Yeah, just that on a loop.
Just screaming.
Yep. So then at one point, he then started to say that he was a big fan of Donald Trump and
okay.
started to say all hail Donald Trump as he was being put in the police car. So
I don't know how that's relevant in the situation,
I'm glad that we know his political preferences.
Sure. Why not? That sounds like a reasonable thing to say to the police.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
He's getting arrested and he's just shouting out people that he likes.
Yes. So then when he was being put into the local county lockup, he agreed to undergo a drug evaluation.
Okay.
But that's when he began acting out of control again. They were going to put handcuffs on him, and that's when he then voluntarily took off his pants, spread his buttocks, and massaged his anus.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
I don't think they actually need to go through with the drug test, because whatever that was, I think, is proof enough. So he's like, oh, time for the drug evaluation. You just... starts circling.
That's the way to get out of being in handcuffs. Don't put handcuffs on me.
The cops don't want to touch his hands after that.
Yeah, I don't want to touch
you
this
know,
dude.
He's like, you know what?
Where the hell have your hands been?
You do you, buddy. And the cops are just standing there like, oh my. Like, what do you do in that situation?
So at this point, that's when the cops were very upset, and they weren't taking this guy's stuff any longer. That's when they had to forcibly put him against the wall for his mugshot. And by the way, I have a photo of this. So for those that are watching the video feed, congratulations, you're going to see this. This is the actual mugshot that they took of this guy. Look, you can see the hands.
Oh my gosh.
You could see the hands trying to prop him up against the wall for the mugshot.
Wow. I've never seen that before where, like, the police have to, like, physically shove somebody up for a mugshot. And this dude is pissed. Like,
yes. He is not happy.
Like, look at that face, man. He's angry.
Come on, man. You just got married. You should be happy. And you can see there's three sets of hands because there's a teal color, right. There's an orange color, and a blue colored glove.
Right. So for those,
so there's three different people physically restraining him against the wall so they can take a mugshot of him.
Right. So for people just listening, yeah, it's like imagine a mugshot from, you know, the front face and then the profile. He's got like blue hands around his neck. He's got like teal hands like grabbing his jacket, and then like orange hands pinning his chest against the wall, like, and it's all like blurry. It seems like they were like actively struggling with him as they're trying to take these pictures. He's just like shouting too as well. It looks like
yeah, very upset.
Wow, I've never seen that. That's crazy. This dude was not having it, man.
No, this
well, you know what, they interrupted his anus massage.
Yes,
you can't interrupt a good anus massage.
It's my wedding day. I should have my anus massaged.
That's why the bride wasn't with him, because he said, you know, honey, we're married now. and she just right away, she's like, good thing I brought the divorce papers with me because this is Florida.
Yeah.
And then he was so distraught that he drove on the opposite side of the road. That's when he hit the car. He ran away because now he's distraught because he hit the car and he couldn't get his anus massaged and his wife left him.
And he didn't make it to the beach.
That's why he was screaming. See, it all makes sense. See that? If she had just massaged his anus,
this would have been prevented.
That sounds awful. I apologize.
An investigator concluded that, quote, Ruthenberg's behavior was consistent with someone under the influence of a kind of stimulant.
What?
Wow. Yeah. What a deduction.
They needed an investigator to figure that one out.
Thank you, Sherlock.
What does that dude make a year? He watched a guy massage his anus. He's like, he's probably on drugs.
Yeah. Ruthenberg was then charged with DUI and leaving the scene of an accident causing serious bodily injury. Guess what? His bond was only $2,000, so he was released. There you go. Not bad.
You know what's really funny? He probably used all the wedding gift money.
Yeah.
To bail himself out of prison.
There you go.
$2,000? That's it?
Yeah. $2,000. That's it.
That's all it took. Oh, my God.
Also, on a little funny follow-up note, because he mentioned that he loves Donald Trump, they found his voting record in this police report.
Yeah.
They said that he is a registered Democrat and that the email address that he provided when registering is ifarted69@gmail.com.
Oh, my God.
What a legend here.
Is this guy 13?
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
There you go.
I farted 69.
That's what he has on his legal voter registration.
Wow.
ifarted69@gmail.com.
This guy is really classy.
I think he should be a Florida Avenger. I don't know what role to put him in, but he should be there.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly he is.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like he should be part of the Florida Avengers.
The massager.
The massager. That sounds really threatening.
Yes.
Given his backstory.
Yes.
The massager. That's how he defeats the criminals. Some guy's like stealing a TV.
Awkwardly.
Yeah, all of a sudden he feels a little tickle in his rump. Yeah. It's the massager.
Oh, no! What are you doing back there?
I dropped the TV. Just saying.
I may not know my flowers, but I know a bitch when I see one.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yikes.
The massager joining the ranks of the Florida Avengers.
What a busy day the massager had.
Yeah.
I
love the fact he got married, and that is like the least interesting bit of his day.
Yeah, and how did that day go sideways so fast?
He really wanted to go to the beach? I don't know.
Like, he wakes up, first off, a Monday morning wedding?
Yeah. That's a weird time
that's,
to get
that's
married.
That's really odd, right? He wakes up.
Wait, well, very busy man.
He's very busy. He's got things. He's got beaches to see and anuses to massage. Okay? You know, if you don't devote enough time to the anus massage, it's just, it's not the same.
It's all over the place.
It's all over. So, you know, he wakes up early, gets married, then just leaves his bride. He's like, bye, honey.
I gotta go.
I gotta go. Proceeds to get into a car accident, flees the scene. You know, he's screaming, running around, doing his whole thing. Gets arrested by the police. And just drops his pants and massages his anus during a drug evaluation. Yeah.
Ready to go.
So weird.
And then, just in case you were wondering, it seems he was on drugs.
Yes. We can't be fully certain.
Right.
But something about all of his previous escapades leads us to believe he may have been on drugs.
Yes. Can I have that guy's job?
Right? You get to see somebody like completely out of their mind and be like, well, he might be on drugs.
I would wager a guess.
Like, how did they?
He might be on drugs.
Like, what did the evaluation, like, you know, what happened? This guy's just watching this dude and like, yeah, probably.
I'm going to note that in my report.
Yeah.
Touched anus.
Touched anus. Probably on drugs.
Probably drug. So wow. There you go.
What a new Florida Avenger, the massager.
I'm telling you, by the end of the year, we're going to have a full squadron. Avengers. So there you go. This is Nicholas Ruthenberg. He'll be one of the Florida Avengers. That'll be at the end of the year.
Yes. Oh, definitely. We're keeping track.
Yep. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. What a story. Just, I can't believe getting married is like the most basic, like non-interesting thing that happened in that dude's day.
Yeah, right? Usually that's like the thing that happens. Like usually, like people have been to weddings. Like it's literally an all-day event. Like it's usually the only thing you have time for. This dude that got married Monday morning so he could have more time to be crazy.
Yes. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, and that will be it for this week's podcast. We got to wrap this one up. Thank you guys for tuning in on this crazy episode. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all that lovely business.
That's right. In addition to all that lovely business, you can also subscribe to the Crispy Noodle podcast channel on YouTube, where you get the video versions of this podcast. But you can also get the audio version of the podcast by subscribing to the Crispy Noodle podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Amazon devices. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle podcast on either YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have mini noodle promos. Go check that out for a quick laugh on the side as well.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. Let us know if there's a news story that you want us to cover on next week's episode. Let us know if we're dead wrong on our predictions or if we're dead right. Anything. We'll take everything under consideration. And also you can find out what we're up to when we're not doing the podcast as well. So the magic of social media. You can follow us on Twitter and enjoy the sights and sounds and everything that we're up to there as well. But for right now, we are starting to wrap this one up. Thank you guys for supporting us and tuning in every week to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Wednesday night, the video feed goes out. Thursday, the audio podcast goes out on all the podcast platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that lovely lovely apps that you can use to listen to us.
So many apps.
That's right.
We're everywhere.
Yep, so there you go. Check us out on any of those platforms. But for right now, that will do it. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Anything else, Mike?
Go Florida Avengers.
That's right. Florida Avengers assemble. We're getting there. We're going to have a full team by the end of the year.
Oh,
so.
You bet.
But for right now, that'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later. Bye-bye, all you fine people.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.